Micah 3 in the verse 8, "But truly I am full of power by the Spirit of the Lord and of judgment and of might to declare unto Jacob his transgression and to Israel his sin." If you were following in the reading, you will see that what Micah says in the verse 8 introduces a very strong and striking contrast. But truly, those two English words translate a very strong, what's called an adversative particle, a very strong contrast introduced here. But truly, I, in contrast to those others that he has been speaking of in the verses leading up to his statement in the verse 8, verse 1, for example, he's dealing with the heads or the princes of Jacob. In verse 5, he speaks of the prophets. In the verse 11, as he, as it were, repeats himself a little, he also speaks of the priests. He is speaking of the religious and political establishment of the nation all around him. He has given some instances of their actions, the kind of life that they've been living, the kind of character that now is a prince and now is a prophet. A vicious, wicked, bloodthirsty, covetous, idolatrous regime was in place in the land. The evidences of apostasy were plain to be seen all around. The plain, open, vicious evidences of rebellion against God and God's order were to be seen at every level in society. Then he introduces the contrast. But truly I am full of power, of might, of judgment, to declare unto Israel his Jacob his transgression and Israel his sin. In strong contrast then to all that was going on around him, stood Micah, the man of God. As a child of the Lord, faithfully serving his God in the way that the Lord had called him to, he stands out as one distinct from the society in which he served the Lord. God has called his people to be distinct. He has called his people to be distinguishable from all that is going on around them in the age in which they live, because our age is really no different to Micah's age. Apostasy is at work all around us. The political establishment is corrupted by rebellion against God. The religious establishment, by and large, corrupted by the same forces of apostasy. We see all around us the evidence of departure from God, and yet we are called upon to live as Micah lived in such a time, to live in distinction from all that is going on. There is a sense then in which we should be able just to set ourselves right into the words of the verse 8, that with spiritual wisdom and discernment we can look around and say, I see apostasy here. I see it at work over there. But truly, I am different. Now we'll see in a little bit that that's not arrogance, it's not pride that is at work here, but it is a recognition of the difference that the grace of God makes and is to continue to make in our lives. It's interesting that he speaks here in a very personal fashion. He was not the only child of God in the land, nor was he the only prophet in the land, being contemporary with men like Isaiah and other of the prophets of the Lord at that time. He's not on his own, and yet there is a sense in which he is alone. Here is a very personal thing. Here is a very personal matter that we must give attendance to and attention to on an individual level. We must say, I stand out. We must be able to say, I'm different. I'm not part of the apostasy and the rebellion that is going on all around me, but truly I. It's such a personal thing. I know there is a sense in which we have a responsibility to see that our household or our family adheres to the ways of the Lord and follows those paths of distinction. But it is ultimately a personal matter. Truly, that the Lord would work in us, make us different, as Micah was different. The fact that he uses the personal pronoun here also would indicate that this can be a lonely stand. I'm different. Not we, but I. It can be a lonely thing. And most often it will be a lonely thing. If we're going to stand out separated from the world, it will be a lonely stand to take. In our day, the idea of distinction and separation, to give it another scriptural term, has of course become almost a bad word in most Christian circles. The idea of maintaining distinction and maintaining a difference, well, that's frowned upon because the modern idea of evangelism is that you have to fit in order to try and win people. You go to join them in order to try and get them out to be where you used to be. I never could understand the logic of that. You go and you be like somebody to convince them to be different to what they are. That just doesn't really make sense. But in this day and age, it is difficult to maintain what Micah maintains here. That in the face of increasing departure from God, I'm going to be different. There's going to be a contrast. Of course, the Lord has called us to live in such a way. What greater contrast could be envisaged than some of the pictures that the Lord uses in His Word to present it? We are to be the children of light. We are to shine as lights in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. We are to be as the living among the dead. There can hardly be a greater contrast. Light and darkness. Living and dead. And the world in its apostasy against God. Micah was a man apart. And I believe that what he says here of himself under God is a statement that we must, that every Christian must be able to make honestly and sincerely before God if we would be what God requires of us to be different from the world. But truly I am full of power by the Spirit of the Lord and of judgment and of might, to declare unto Jacob his transgression and to Israel his sin. Three very simple thoughts as we look at what he says here. First of all, Christian distinction is by the Spirit. To be distinct from the political apostasy and the religious apostasy that's going on all around us, even today, to be distinct from that, to be aloof and separated from that, we must have the Spirit of the Lord. See how he puts it here. But truly, I am full of power, and we link in the other matters that he refers to. I'm full of power and of judgment and of might by the Spirit of the Lord. That's where it begins. It is by the agency, through the working of the Holy Spirit, that we are made to stand out from the world and its ways. The essence then of Micah's distinction from the apostasy at work around him was the fact that in him the Holy Ghost was at work. I am what I am, he says in essence, by the Spirit of the Lord. It is his work. Now, if we think about that then for a little moment, we will learn that it is a spiritual distinction that is in view here. Here is a distinction that is the product of the Spirit of the Lord. It is a spiritual distinction. What we are not to, or what we are to strive for, is not simply to be odd or to be different in an external sense. It's not what we are striving for. We are striving for a spiritual distinction. To be different at heart from what is going on around us. It's easy enough to be different in an external sense, just to be odd, to be different, for the sake of being different. But the primary thought that the prophet is making here is, this is a spiritual distinction. It is a distinction that goes far beyond the surface. Yes, there'll be a difference on the surface, But the difference that is on the surface is the result of a spiritual distinction. It's the result of a distinction in the heart. And what is in the heart, what is in the soul, will inevitably show itself on the surface. But our distinction is not superficial. This is what we have to grasp. It's not just for the sake of doing things differently. We are different because we have a different spirit. The Spirit of God at work in the Christian is a different spirit to the spirit that is in the world. Tonight's broadcast will be part one of a message that I preached a while ago on Caleb, that he fully followed the Lord. And the interesting point, one of the interesting points the Lord makes about that is, he had another spirit with him. He had a foreign spirit. He had a different spirit. That's where his faithfulness arose from. That's what set Caleb and Joshua apart from the other 10 rascals of spies who came back and slandered the land, and God smote them in a plague after they had persuaded the people not to go in. Caleb had a different spirit. Caleb was set apart because he had another spirit. In a sense, it is proper to say Caleb was as a foreigner. He had a foreign spirit, a spirit that was foreign to that which motivated the other men. Well, here's the foreign spirit at work again. The Spirit of the Lord distinguishing the saint from the ungodly. They're foreign. The spirit that animates and motivates the child of God is a foreign spirit as far as the world is concerned. There is a spiritual distinction that is to be seen, and we are to live out that spiritual distinction. If the Holy Spirit resides within us, then we are different. We have been separated from the world, and we are to live in that distinction. Spiritual distinction then is in view. You'll see that it is obviously the work of the Holy Ghost to set His people apart from the world. That is His work. That is His activity. That is what the Holy Ghost does in an individual. He sets them apart. I am different, Micah is saying. But truly I, in contrast to all that is going on around me, by the Spirit of the Lord. The Holy Ghost distinguishes men from the world. The Holy Ghost distinguishes men from the apostasy. That's why when you have someone who feels that they can continue to be part of the apostasy and part of the departure from God and rebellion against His Word, whether it's in political or religious circles, that person cannot say, I am doing this in the Holy Ghost. That's a lie. Because the Holy Ghost always and only distinguishes men from apostasy. He never works in their lives so as to make them part of the apostasy. Such a thing is unthinkable. How can the Holy Spirit lead a man to be part of that which is going away from God? He doesn't lead a Christian to the place in their life where they so camouflage themselves with the trappings of conformity to the world and conformity to the age. That's not the Holy Spirit's direction. Micah says, the Holy Ghost is at work in me. And what effect does that have? I'm different. I'm set apart. You know the words, I'm sure, are familiar enough. The apostle in Romans chapter 12 and the verse 2, where the command is, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. That renewing is specifically said in Titus 3 to be the work of the Holy Ghost. The renewing of the Holy Ghost. Here is the effect of the Spirit of God ongoing upon the mind of the Christian. A constant renewal work going on. And what is the outworking of that? It's not a conforming to the world. It is a transforming. Not being made like the spirit of the age, but made different. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. Again, you have His work described from the other perspective in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and the verse 18. We all, with open face, beholding as in a glass, using the picture of a mirror to describe the Scriptures, looking into the mirror of Scripture, we behold in a glass the glory of the Lord and are changed into the same image from glory to glory. In other words, increasingly, progressively, changed into the glorious likeness of Christ by the Spirit of the Lord. There's a change made. Micah says, the Spirit of God is at work in me, sets me apart. I'm not what the other prophets are who preach a false message. I'm not like those other princes in the land of Israel. And by inference, he says, I'm not like any of them who follow in that course and in that path, because God the Holy Ghost is at work in me. The emphasis then in Micah's statement is upon the grace and the power of God. I said a little while ago, this is not an arrogant statement. This is not a statement that bolsters pride and is an attempt to make something of himself. It's the working of God. It's the working of God in grace that sets a man apart from the world. I would be part of the world. I would be part of the apostasy. I would be part of the crowd on the road to hell were it not for the grace and the goodness of God that made a difference. Mike is not making any boast of his own holiness or his own progress or his own power or ability. He attributes entirely the distinction, where that distinction exists between him and the world, to the working of the Spirit of the Lord. It's his work. Thank God for the working of his blessed Spirit. The Spirit of God, who in his holiness and purity and power came into vile, polluted sinners to regenerate, to bring them to Christ, to produce faith and repentance, to work in us, to sanctify us. That's the work of the Spirit of the Lord. If there's a difference, if I'm not what the world is, if I'm not what the ungodly are, it's the work of the Holy Ghost. It's not by my own work. It's by the Spirit of the Lord. But notice, secondly, the details of this distinction from the world that the prophet speaks of here. As he looks around him, he sees the priests, the prophets, the princes, society largely corrupted and in rebellion against God. He can look at the specific actions of the leaders. He can see the perversions of justice. Maybe he has in mind individual cases where he knows evil has been done. Poor souls have been abused because they've got no voice and they've been oppressed. And the princes have ridden roughshod over them and justice has not been served. Priests in their greed for money. Prophets in their desire to enrich themselves. He maybe knows individuals who have been hurt, who have been abused. He can see specific instances. But if he can see that, he can look into his own life and say, here and here and here are specific things that the Spirit of God has wrought in me. You'll see that he highlights three areas particularly. The work of the Spirit of God in him that sets him apart. Three characteristics, not an exhaustive list by any means, and yet three features of the Spirit's working that really touch on all of his work in the heart of his people. First, you have full of power. Second, full of judgment. Third, full of might, because the fullness really applies to them all. I'm full of power, I'm full of judgment, I'm full of might by the Spirit of the Lord. Full of power, then, is the first feature, a primary feature of the Holy Ghost's work in the saint. That fullness of spiritual power. Now, here is something that we should certainly strive for. Here is something that we should desire and pray for. Lord, give me the fullness of the Holy Ghost. Every child of God has the Spirit, for if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. You don't belong to Christ if you don't have the Holy Spirit. And yet, those who have the Holy Spirit can also experience the fullness of the Holy Spirit. We read of the apostles that time and time and time again they were filled and filled and filled again and again and filled yet more with the Spirit of God. An ongoing experience of God's power, spiritual power, is the primary evidence of the working of the Holy Spirit. It is spiritual power that we need to set us apart from the apostasy of the age. It is because of our weakness, because of our emptiness by and large, our lack of power, that we are not seen in distinction as we ought to be seen. Sometimes it irritates me, and other times it downright grieves me when our church, for example, is mistaken for another church. In one sense, it's a natural thing. Oh, you're the Presbyterian Church in town. In one sense, that's a natural thing. You put it down to people's inexperience or ignorance of what we're about. But there's a sense in which it saddens me. In the light of a text like this, if I was filled with the power of God as I ought to be, there wouldn't be any way they would mix me up with the other crowd. Micah was a man apart. He had the power of God. It is the power of God that will distinguish us. It will be the power of God that will make us stand apart. It mightn't make us famous. It mightn't make us wealthy. It mightn't make us popular, but it will make us different. And there is a crowd that I want to be different from. There was a crowd all around Micah that he was more than happy to be different from. And he was different because he had the power of God. Power to carry through the purpose of God. Power to serve God. Power to live for God. Power to speak for God. He saw things done. You know the Savior's counsel to His disciples in Luke chapter 24. In the verse 49, prior to His departure to glory. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. Until you're clothed with power. For a Christian to live without power is to live in a state of undress, spiritually speaking. Not fit to go out, not fit to be seen, not fit for public activity until we have the power of God. The Lord said, don't you leave Jerusalem until you're clothed with the power of the Holy Ghost. And you know the disciples, the apostles, were clothed with that power in Acts chapter 1 and the verse 8. The Savior speaks to them and says, ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. Power to carry through the mission that God gave them. The spiritual resources, the spiritual energy to make an impact for God. When Peter preached in the power of the Holy Ghost, men sat up and listened. The word couldn't be ignored. When the apostles preached in the power of God, even their enemies had to take notice. These men have been with Jesus. They're words of power. It was the power of God that distinguished Micah. We need to pray that God will distinguish us in this day of apostasy, even by the anointing of the Holy Ghost. He says, moreover, I am full of judgment. Judgment in the sense of discernment, in the sense of the knowledge, the understanding of the law of God, the ability to discern right from wrong. I know, he says, what is right. I know what is wrong. Now that is a discernment that so often is lacking, sadly, in the people of God today. And you can easily see how that breaks down the distinction between the Christian and the world. If an individual Christian doesn't recognize a specific activity as being wrong, and they engage in it, why, they're just like the world. They're doing exactly what the world does. But if there is discernment to know, that's wrong. And not only the discernment in view here in judgment, but the desire and the decisive determination to do what is right, that's where distinction comes in. If we look at a certain activity, the world says, this is fine, this is fun, this is entertainment. And the Christian with discernment says, no, but it's contrary to God's word and I'll not be doing it. Right away, you've got a distinction. But because today, many of God's people don't have this judgment, that Micah was speaking of. But this is the product of the working of the Holy Ghost within us through the Word of God to open our mind, our understanding, and to show us that's right, that's wrong. You do what's right, and you thereby distinguish yourself from the crowd that's doing what is wrong. A knowledge of the mind of God will always set us apart from the age in which we live. Then he's full of might. There is a difference, I do believe, in the emphasis between might and power. When he speaks of being full of might, I feel that what he is speaking about is he is speaking of courage and the heroic boldness. The word that is used here actually does give us the idea of a hero, a champion. Courageous, heroic boldness and courage. Just to stand and do what he knows to be right. He has courage. You remember how the disciples, filled with the Holy Ghost, they preached the Word of God with boldness. That courage to be different. That boldness of spirit that couldn't care less what the world thinks. How we lack that. And if we're different, we like to try and hide it as much as possible. And we slip around and we try not to be noticed too much. But oh, that God would make us different and give us the courage to be different and fill us with His Spirit to stand. For God has not given us the spirit of bondage again to fear. He hasn't given us the spirit of trembling and of fear, but the spirit of power. The spirit enabling us to be bold and to be courageous. To say with Paul, as he contemplated even his own death in Acts 20, none of these things move me. None of these things move me. I'm going on. I'm going to serve God. I'm going to do what's right, come what may. That's the might that Micah says here is the product of the working of the Spirit of God. Then finally, there is a clear purpose in view in this distinction. God makes men different for a reason. Not just to make them oddities. Not just to make them the laughing stock of the world. Not just to introduce a little bit of variety into creation. But he has a purpose. Distinction is not an end in itself, in other words. It's not enough just to be different for the sake of being different. We are to be different with a purpose. It's not oddity. It's not just the principle of non-conformity. Doesn't matter what the world does, I'm going to do something different. We have met people like that. That's not what Christian distinction is about. Micah recognizes when God the Holy Ghost works in my life to make me different, he does so for a reason. And he elaborates on the purpose of God in the final part of the verse. You'll see the little word to repeated twice over there. First, to declare unto Jacob his transgression and to Israel his sin. Got the wrong to. It's to declare. That's what he has been called to do. First, he's God's spokesman. A public declaration is in view here. He is to be a witness to the nation. That's why God has made us different, that we might bear public witness, to be a public spokesman for God. Obviously, in the context of Micah's own calling to be a prophet, there's a specific application in view here. Yes, he was called to preach, called to declare as a prophet. But all of us have that responsibility to speak for the Lord, not necessarily as a prophet, but nevertheless, to speak for him. And you see, we can only speak for God when we speak from the position of distinction. Remember Lot? Remember how he went to his sons and his daughters? His daughters and his sons-in-law in Sodom and said, "Up, get you out of the city." In a sense, attempting to speak for God. What'd they do? They laughed at him. Why? Because Lot was stuck in Sodom. With no distinction. If our words are going to mean anything, we must be distinct. We can only speak for God as we speak from the platform of being set apart by the Holy Ghost from the world. If our witness means nothing and affects nothing, it may well be it's because we're not different. We're not where we ought to be. But let us get outside the camp. Let us stand in distinction with Christ, and then we'll be able to speak. He is, in his speaking, to denounce sin and transgression. Like Isaiah, around the same time, set a trumpet to thy mouth, declare to Israel their sin. The man that God sets apart, whether he's a preacher or not, will be a witness against sin. He'll be a check on sin. By the very fact that he's different, there will be a check on sin. He is to highlight sin and transgression. The word transgression translates a word that has the idea of rebellion. Oh, he's to call sin what it really is. Call a spade, be honest about it, just say it like it is. Denounce it as sin, denounce it as transgression. Don't try to find some sort of fancy terminology to please the audience. No, just say what it is. It's rebellion against God. It's apostasy. That's what God has called us to do. The kind of witness that he has called us to exercise in. That's why he's made us different from the world. Then we think of his audience. You have the two names there used of the nation, Jacob and Israel. Jacob causes us to think upon the natural side of things. The descendants of Jacob after the flesh. His fellow countrymen, perhaps we could think about. We could think about those who were unconverted in the land. Think of Israel, a title that deals with those who were visibly in relation with God. What we might describe in a different time as the visible church. Those who make a profession of being the Lord's. And whether they're in the church or out of the church, whether they're our fellow countrymen or whether they're not, we're a witness against sin. But such a witness can only be carried out from this standpoint of separation. Only as God by His Spirit imparts to us power and judgment and might can we bear witness against sin. How can we bear witness against sin if we don't see it? So we need judgment. How can our witness mean anything if we have no power? We need power. How can our witness be heard unless we courageously stand and boldly make that witness? So we need might. We need, in other words, and in short, the Holy Ghost. This is what set Micah apart. This is an age that cries out for men and women apart, separated unto the gospel of God. And as we face this new year, always I think the time of the new year comes to us with a challenge. What am I going to be in this year? What am I going to do in this year? In the light of what I did last year, maybe there are things to change this year, things to do differently. In the light of the increasing apostasy all around us, we have, as it were, humanly speaking, now we have a new opportunity set before us. In one sense, nothing has changed, and yet, from the perspective of just looking at things, of a new year opening up before us, there's a new opportunity. Are we going to be different? Let's pray this year that God fills us with the Spirit of God to set us apart, to be useful for Him, to be a witness against the rebellion against God that's all around us.